The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 6 here, at the top of it, with regard to the doctrine of the rapture. All right, let's take the usual time to fulfill the usual preparation. It is your responsibility to be here under Hebrews 10:25. It is your responsibility to be instructed from the information by God the Holy Spirit. God works in mysterious ways, and He works in and through us to accomplish His good pleasure for those who are open-minded and desirous of understanding the truth, whether it is information previously presented or information that is new. It is your responsibility, once again, to maintain the proper decorum. That's external, not moving around and making noise, messing with things that besides your notes and your Bible, basically, and the internal decorum, which is to be filled with the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the truth in general and for this concept in particular, the promise of the coming of Christ and our near resurrection from this earth, where we'll always be with the Lord. Thank You for this opportunity to be here this evening. Bless our time together in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Something I had here. Oh. From establishing the time frame for the rapture event is based on another doctrine, the doctrine of the fig tree. And it is important to understand that Israel's demotion, if you will, from the primary vehicle and servants of God before the nations, that was the plan for Israel. Israel failed. They failed miserably. And it was especially noted in the way they treated Christ. They rejected Him. Not all of them, but the majority remained in unbelief, embracing absolutely a false idea about salvation, and so they were set aside. In fact, two prophets made that clear that was going to happen. You want to go read about it in the Hosea prophet, it is they would be set aside, and God would pick up with another people. No details were given regarding who that other people was. It was just open to speculation. In fact, nobody could have anticipated that this new people of God would be all people from all nations who come to faith in Christ in the new dispensation. In other words, a new people of God. A new chosen people. This does not mean that God is any way at all completely through with Israel. Talking about Israel corporately, they were under the blackout of the soul, under blindness, very religious typically, the average rank and file, but so far removed that they weren't even right about salvation. Or they would not have treated Jesus Christ the way they did at the first advent. All the evidence was in front of that generation, all of it, that He was the real thing. They were actually waiting for a Messiah, but their theology got all askew. They left out the necessity of the suffering Messiah, because if they'd have gapped that, they would have known that they were going to be responsible. Otherwise, He would not have been framed because it wasn't the Romans that came after him. It was the Jewish hierarchy that came after him. Those that sat in Moses' seat. Those with the preeminent authority. They're the ones that came after him. And they, of all people, should have known he was the real deal. It just shows how absolutely perverse people can get with regard to even having and saying they are Bible believers. Because they were believers in the Bible. They believed it. The Old Testament was the Word of God. But look how bad they screwed it up and made the law of Moses an instrument of salvation rather than a guide to show the way to salvation. There's quite a difference. And they weren't about to humble themselves, give up their whatever it was these people thought. And so he came to his own people, his own race. He came to his own, the scripture says, and his own received him not. Exceptions, yes. But the majority did not. The overwhelming majority did not. In spite of all of the miracles, all the evidence, if he was a false Messiah, of which those had appeared from time to time, they could have easily debunked him. They had the tools and the information to do that. And the easiest way to debunk any clown claiming to be Messiah who wasn't is just look at the ancestry. You had to have the right genealogical ancestry. And he had it. Through Joseph and Mary. He had the legal right through Joseph. He had the physical right through Mary. That qualified him right there. And the prophecy that he would be born of a virgin. They had all the investigative tools they needed to figure this out. They even knew he was the Messiah. But they would not embrace him. That's how far they went. If they could have debunked him legally, demonstrating that he wasn't based on this scripture and that scripture, they had sure done it real quick. But they couldn't. So they dug their heels in, rejected him, and framed him. And twisted the Romans' arms so that they would crucify him. But this all worked out in the purposes of God. So he could bear the sins of the world, be resurrected, set Israel aside. Now the official death of the second commonwealth. And what I mean by that is, when Israel established themselves in the land as a nation, that's the first commonwealth. The 12 tribes. That ran down the road until the first dispersion of the northern tribes about 130 to 150 years before the exile of the southern kingdom. The Assyrians took the northern tribe out. You remember the nation split after the death of Solomon. And there was kings established in the northern kingdom. They weren't under the promise of the one in the south. And then the Judean kings, of which Christ was in their line of the Judean kings. He's a son of David, an ancestor. David is his ancient father ancestor. He's the descendant, the fulfillment of that covenant. So the first commonwealth existed all the way. The first commonwealth existed until the Jews were put into captivity. A part of them came out of captivity, out of the Babylonian, establishing the second commonwealth. Those Jews that came out, you read the books of Nehemiah and Ezra and so forth and so on. These were the Jews who, of their own free will, after Cyrus's edict, came back to the devastated land of promise and started the second commonwealth. And that nation existed all the way to the time of Christ, past the time of Christ, on in briefly to the church age to 70 AD. when God used three Gentile powers to spank Israel. He used the Assyrian northern kingdom, the so-called ten lost tribes. The southern kingdom, the Babylonians. And the third, the Romans. That occurred in 70 AD. God's timing. A significant amount of the New Testament was developed in that time frame. And it happened just after Paul died. So there is no way the rapture could have occurred in Paul's day. He never taught that. You can inference it from certain passages, which theologians and pastors have done, but they're wrong. Israel had to be dispersed. It was prophesied in Daniel that they would be dispersed. You can read all about it in Daniel 9, which we've covered. So the second Commonwealth went from the time of the Jews coming out of and establishing themselves out of Babylonian captivity all the way down to 70 AD. You cannot find a people who have been kicked out of their land that many times and still came together and maintained their identity and went back to their land. That's because they are unique under God. They couldn't have done it on their own. God had to do this. From 70 AD to 1948 AD, they were a non-nation, dispersed, and so forth. They became a nation May 14th, 1948. That is a momentous date. There's divine timing in all this. Prior to this, going back to the century before, the 19th century, there was this movement to try to get a land for the Jews. They didn't care where it was, these leaders, so they could have their own place. Well, all that wasn't going to happen. And so the process to establish the Jewish state, when it was recognized even by the UN, and that Israel was a nation among the nations, it led to an immediate war. The Arabs went nuts and attacked them. They were outnumbered, but God is in control. They were trying to kill the Jewish state right then. They didn't succeed. Neither in the wars all the way up to beyond that point. When seven Arab nations ganged up on Israel, and Israel prevailed. Because God has a plan. Not because they're better fighters than other people. It's because God is in control. So in 1948, the birth of the Jewish state. Yes, there had to be pre-immigration, where people are there doing things, and then this finally happens. The British controlled the area. Finally, they had to back out. And the Jews did a bunch of terrorism, too. Yeah, blew up King David Hotel, killed British soldiers. All this mess was going on. But it established this Jewish state. And Jesus, when the disciples asked him, "What is the sign of your coming?" See, when they ask him, "What is the sign of your coming?" They're thinking of the second advent. They don't have a clue about the rapture. But if you can figure out the second advent, you got the rapture in a bag. You get two for one. He said, "Learn the parable of the fig tree. When you see it putting on its tender shoots, you know that summer is near. Summer is the reign of Christ on earth, the millennium." Okay? So, what's a generation? A generation, and that has been debated. Obviously, everything's debated, right? I mean, all kinds of ideas are kicked around. And the generation is, Moses says, it is 70 to 80 years. Now that's basically human lifespan. You have some flexibility here. And so 70 to 80 years from the birth of Israel 80 gets us to 2028. 70 got us to 2018. So from 33 AD, the birth of the church, 33 AD to 20 the rapture event is 1988 years, which is perfectly divisible by the number 7, which you would expect, because starting with 33 AD at the end of the 69 weeks of years, God likes that number 7. You count the sevens. There's 284 of them to 2021. 2000 was a 7 count year, and of course 14 and 21 and 28. So that's where I'm basing all of this. It's keyed to Israel, and it's create that generation will not pass away, Jesus said. A generation passes away under this time frame, and a new generation comes on based on the 70-80 year principle. 80 years gets us to the second advent. And 2021 is a 7-year count. So that's what we're looking at, people. That's how close things are. There are some things that inevitably have to occur before the rapture can occur. One of which is, here's the thing. When they came out of Babylonian captivity, the first thing they did and were permitted to do was build a temple. They were not immediately permitted to build up the fortifications of Jerusalem. That came later. And that's how you date the beginning of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. Not the start of the temple, but that. The city is very important too. Zion or Jerusalem. But in this particular cycle, the Jews build up the city, build up their in modern times, build up their country, and the last thing they're going to get is the temple. Which is commonly called, it's not technically this, but I'm going to get into it, the third temple. And that temple must be established to serve the first half of the tribulation. The first half of the tribulation in a positive way. Animal sacrifices will come back. They've been working on this. This isn't some figment of their imagination. This is something they're working on. When the time is right and God is right, the political situation, whatever, will get right, this thing will come to, this temple will go up. There's been talk about it with Trump and everybody else. And Trump on his side, Trump says, oh, we're going to recognize the Golan as Israel's. And everybody just went berserk. It's a part of the promised land. I don't know what all he is. Maybe in a weird way, a modern day Cyrus type guy. Because of the influence the U.S. has towards Israel and all that's been going on. Then we want to put our embassy in Jerusalem instead of in Tel Aviv. That causes a stink. The land itself, it's going to have Gentile influence in it until the times of the Gentiles are over. And the last person to try to stick their nose in there and make it happen, there's others. You can go down the line and see the others that were trying to establish themselves in the Middle East, nations. Turkey, of course, Britain. Now the United States, a major player. But that's the time, it'll be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And the last bunch of Gentiles to come pouring in there is going to be the armies of the Antichrist, the kings of the East, and all these nations that God pulls together, and they bring in this for this final battle called Armageddon that Jesus Christ personally will take on and crush them all by himself. He will walk through this. The analogy is a man back in the ancient times, they stomped grapes. They might still do it in places around. They got in a vat, and they said there was something about your bare feet and crushing grapes. And of course, the garment at the end of a work day is just covered with stain, grape stain all over it, which is analogous to blood. And he is going to tread the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. The final opposition will be crushed in a war. He will defeat the armies of the kings of the west, the kings of the east, and there's a bunch of them that are going to come in there. And the blood is going to run to a horse's bridle. He's going to walk right into it, and they're going to explode like throwing a tomato against a wall. There's a real gory description of it in Zechariah. It says their faces melt. It's a plague like has never been seen before. It's a super weapon. A weapon of mass destruction. Not nuclear. And it'll take the Jews 7 years to bury all the remains of all the dead. And we will hover right over it as it's spectators watching a sports team on a field. We'll watch it with our resurrection eyes. That's part of what your little future is here, gang. You ought to get excited about it. And that's why we're close. And I have people that have resisted this. Fine. Resist it. We'll see. That's how much time you got left to figure things out if you haven't already and get it where you need to be spiritually. And stand up and go through whatever you've got to go through because it's going to be to your glory if you do it right. But some will fall. Some will fade. And we've seen that enough. Don't think it's not going to be me, lest you also fall. I got to look myself too. I haven't fulfilled my ministry yet until it's all said and done. So anyway, the rapture gets us out of here, dumps the rest of the human race into the unbelievers, because once we're gone, remember after the flood, it wiped out everybody before the flood. I was thinking today, I wonder if there was any believers that were before the flood that didn't get on the boat. I mean, believers are stupid, right? They can be really dumb. You don't have to be a believer. You don't have to be a believer to have... It didn't prove you were a believer. It proved you were a believer if you got on the ship, but it didn't prove you were an unbeliever if you didn't get on it. That's what I'm trying to say. And so they just drowned and with unbelievers. If Lot hadn't have got out of Sodom, he'd have went up with the rest of them. Yeah, he was kind of escorted. But he didn't fall to the ground and scream no. So these people out here, I guess it's just a part of spiritual growth. When I see them, let's say you're viewing them on TV, and they're all excited about something. Oh, this is so great. You fools. This is the last thing you need to be concerned about. First, you need to be concerned about the predicament you're in. You're facing death every day, possibly, potentially. You always hear of someone, she died. She was a young woman. She was a model. She fell off the catwalk. Bam! It's because you're old, you know. All these people, first things first, get saved. Second thing, get with the truth. But who's going to do it? All these Christians out here, all these dummies out here running around, they don't want to hear this. But I got people in my congregation, they don't want to hear this. It apparently bores them. It ought to excite them that they are so privileged to know these kinds of things and have this insight into Christ. And they ought to be, you know, hungering for more. Hungering for righteousness. Just like, you know, you crave something maybe. Like, say, a food item. You crave these things. You want to know these things. This is where you're going to be forever. This is what it's all about. This other stuff, while it has its place at times, it is not where it's at. They're talking about their plans and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And some of this stuff they'll do, but they're not anywhere close to where they need to be. I was sitting at a restaurant. Of course, they have, you know, TVs thrown up, but they don't, it was all muted. It was just about some super quarterback from North Dakota, and he's a hero of the state because it's a little state, and you never hear much about North Dakota. And he's going to be the big quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And they had a whole little thing on him, and I'm sitting there, and it showed that he was religious. It showed him in a church giving a speech. And he was talking about, apparently, salvation. I didn't get the words because there was no audio with it. And he said, salvation by works. No. They had it up on a board. And then they had salvation by faith plus works. Yes. I go, what? You didn't even have that right? But, you know, ever since he was a kid, he always wanted to be a quarterback. Not a mature believer, cracking the maturity barrier, growing up and getting his crown. Because his dummy pastor doesn't know any more than any of the rest of them. Blind leading the blind. It's just another example. And everybody, oh, this is so great. He's a good guy. He does charity. He does all this human good. Anything but the truth. Anything but sound doctrine. God just hits me with this all the time. I don't even have to look for it. I overhear conversations. I don't want to overhear. They have no faith. They have no faith rest. They have no trust. They don't have an understanding of these things. Talk about church in the next minute. Well, if I die, I just want to, you know, if I'm going to die, I just want to go to the mountains and be found out there. I was like, what? Please, lady. Anything but the truth. You must hear it too because you're out there with people. You must hear what their hopes are, their fears are, and the various things that are coming out of their mouth. They are so far removed. And it brings us to this point. There are two classes of believers when we have liftoff, obviously. And I'll just put 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. He briefed them. They lived centuries before the rapture, but they understood the information. The Thessalonians got it. They came straight out of paganism, and with a matter of months, they were on top of this. Yes, there's more information to be learned. They did not have the book of Revelation. They can't be faulted for that. Maybe they got to it later, some of them, but not while Paul was alive. Paul didn't have the benefit of the book of Revelation. And believe you me, there's a lot of stuff that's added as a result of that. But you teach what you got. And that's good enough. He had the scenario laid out. And yet, they were influenced by outside types telling them that they were in the day of the Lord. A couple of people here have told me they've run into somebody for that time. I think we're in the tribulation. Well, it ain't that bad, is it? Anything like I've been reading. I mean, but they're just goofy. They're just, they don't, it's a reflection of where they go to church. They aren't getting this information. Things have to happen before the rapture can occur. And at the top of the list is Israel has to be a nation. But logically, now we know, it's easy, hindsight's easy. It's easy to look back and say, Israel's not going to be a nation, and then boom, the rapture. Too much has to happen. Because there's all these other prophecies that have to fall into place. We had to move into the nuclear age. And we weren't quite there yet in 1948. In fact, we weren't even close to what we have now. Weapons of mass destruction. That's necessary to blow the United States out of existence. All this has to be in place. Everything. That's why God can't just rapture us. The thing I was raised up on, any old time. Now I look back on that. It's so stupid. So I started learning this. I repented all that. That's out. You can't know. And they take that verse. No man knows the day or the hour. They quote it like mad. That's the one they hang themselves on. That's their go-to verse. But you have to look at it real careful. Not even the Son knew, nor the angels knew. And he's talking about the second advent. He's not talking about the rapture because that would be, you know, It was hinted at. Jesus hinted at it. A hint. That's probably not the best word. He dropped it out there in John 14:3. I'll come, and where I am, you'll be with me. Well, that hardly explains it enough. And he knew that, obviously. But look at it this way. No man knows the day or the hour, and we're talking about the second advent. How could you not know the day or hour if you're in the tribulation? How could you not know the year of the rapture? You might not know the day or hour. That's different than the year. Because you know there are so many years, seven, times 300, there's 12 months in a year, 30 days in a month, multiply, do the math, and you'll wind up with the number 2520 days. 2520. Divide it by two, you're at the middle of the trib. 1260. So how could you be in the tribulation and not know how much time you got? You'd know. Now, figuring all this out so we can bring this into perspective is what is important. Again, when the rapture occurs, this is obvious. There's going to be two kinds of believers on the earth. Those that are out of it, the great majority, do not have all their little information in front of them because the churches don't teach it for whatever reasons. Stand up and teach the U.S. and prophecy to one of these churches, a bunch of flag wavers. Ugh. You wouldn't last as a pastor there. They'd run you right out of there. That was the first test of my ministry, to drop that bombshell on everybody's head. And I did it in 1976, the 200th anniversary of the United States, around the 4th of July celebration. I didn't plan it that way. It's just, I was given a booklet with some information, and I thought it was probably nuts. But I couldn't say, well, are you gutless? You're afraid to read it? So I started reading it. It sat there on my desk. I started reading it. I said, OMG, this is making sense. I always was bothered by Jeremiah 50 and 51. I really was. Because I knew ancient Babylon didn't go down that way at all. When ancient Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom collapsed under that creep that was the last guy, so, you know, the last guy is going to be a real dilly. It was not taken by destruction of that city. That city was kept intact. It was like it didn't miss a beat. People continued to go to work. There was no upheaval, no slaughter of people in the streets. Cyrus's commandos came in there to that banquet hall where they brought elderly Daniel. Because they were all partying. They're having a Hellraiser's party. They were drinking themselves to oblivion. They had party girls all over the place. They even were so audacious, he asked them to go in to the treasury part where they had, back in the day of Nebuchadnezzar, taken the sacred vessels out of the temple, the golden vessels that were to serve God and serve and illustrate things. He wanted those brought in there, and we're going to drink out of those. Just another stupid move. And they thought they were safe. The walls of Babylon were famous. The story goes that you could put two chariots side by side and you could run around them. And Cyrus's army was out getting camped out there. And as far as these degenerate Babylonians were concerned, they could just rot out in the hot sun. We got the Euphrates River running through by us. We got all the water we wanted. That was their Achilles heel. They diverted the river. And a group of commandos snuck in under the cover of night, walked into that hall. Now, here's what happened. They're having a good old time, right?
You know, good old drinking orgy. So, saluting their gods, going on all this crazy stuff. And a hand comes up on the wall. A hand disconnected and begins to write letters in this hard wall. Well, that sobered everybody up. They all got dead serious. It was quiet, no words. This hand was writing. He's running around circles trying to figure out what it means. None of his people could make sense of it. Something like Tekel, Tekel, Mepharsin. I bungled it, but it was a message that your kingdom's toast, and so are you. They couldn't figure it out. So they brought in elderly Daniel. The queen was still alive from the past. She said, "This is a man that knows stuff." And he came in there. And the king wanted to give him honors and put all this up. "Daniel, keep it. I'm going to take anything from you." He didn't say it that way, but no. Who could be honored by this guy? He's going to be dead before the next day arrives. And Daniel tells him, "It's all over for you. This is a message from God." And he walks out. And Cyrus's commandos come in there and kill every last one of them. It's like all the princes, all the elite, and the king, it's like chopping the head off the beast. And they got up the next morning and they said, "You're ruled by the Persians now. We don't mean you any harm. Go about your business." The Jews were in the Jewish quarter. They were fine. And that's how that kingdom fell. So all that story is to tell you this. I read Jeremiah 50 and 51. It talks about fire. It talks about arrows. It talks about total destruction. Nobody's left. Nobody can go back and revisit the place. Well, people have been visiting ancient Babylon all through all of history. Shepherds have been putting their flocks there when it became ruins. Alexander died there. So, the Bible wrong? No, it's not referring to this. This is code for somebody else. A latter-day nation. So I looked it all up, began to figure it out, and in 76, I put that in front of my congregation. Oh, I had a couple people that didn't like it. Because they're flag wavers. They put America first, not God and Bible doctrine. And I'm grateful that I've lived in this country. I'm not biting the hand that fed me. But I am a prophet of sorts. I am simply telling people, in like the prophets of old, they weren't traitors because they stood up and said, "You know, this is what's going to happen to you." "Well, you're encouraging the enemy." "Well, you're doing this, Jeremiah." "I'm doing what God told me to do." And you will not listen and turn to God and get your sins forgiven, and that God will call it all off. But you won't do it. God knows you won't do it. So you're going to go through it. So that's how I figured out the U.S. and prophecy. And I expanded on this subject because, you know, you don't get every detail the first time out. On any topic, I don't care what it is in the Bible, you continue to build it. That's why we grow in grace and knowledge. People can say, "Well, why didn't you figure that out earlier?" Why didn't I figure it out earlier? Why don't you find somebody that knows everything in the Bible perfectly and you call them to be your pastor? Good luck on that. You're not going to find a guy like that. You're going to have to grow with him under doctrine and figure things out as we go along. And God gives it to you piecemeal, figuring it all out, because you can't handle it all at once. This is a great plan. It's got all these details built into it. And it's worth studying. It has everything to do with your Christian life. I see the proverbial handwriting on the wall with this country. And this country is worse than you think it is in God's eyes. God has never done this to a country before. Yes, He has wiped out kingdoms. He has brought down situations. But He has never made an example like He's going to make out of this. We must really be corrupt then. Because He is a fair and just God. And He would heal this nation, but this nation will not be healed. And this includes the church out there, all these believers. They won't do anything. They won't lift a finger. They just keep on in their religiosity, running around in little circles,
They're not interested in the truth. Not sound doctrine. Pieces of it, yes. But what's that going to get you? It isn't going to get you anywhere. So for a lot of American believers, they're going to be raptured. And there's believers in other countries. Presumably there's a bunch of them in China. Reports are there's a bunch of them. And they're persecuted. And wherever there's Christians on the earth, the persecution's building. There is an antagonism to Christianity. White males, there's an antagonism. You say, what? Yes. And this comes from the elite too. All their crap. Feminism, everything came from them. They call it toxic male masculinity. What are we supposed to be? A little bunch of little wimps going around and wear girls' clothes and stuff? How are they going to work that out with a football team? They look pretty macho to me, crashing into each other. And it's in universities. They're attacking our very culture that's worth keeping. They don't like English. What? It's a pretty good language. And they don't like white people. And there's people who made similar, like, kill them all. All the problems on the earth are because of white people. White people have caused a lot of problems, but it's because of all the problems on the earth. See, they want to, you know how you wreck a nation? You divide it. You get people hating each other. You get racial animosity. You get this. It's called divide and conquer. Men against women. This against this. All this business goes on. Don't fall for any of it. You're just one person. All you can do is your thing. We have goodwill towards all men. We want all people to come to salvation. We don't put up with their evil. We don't condone their evil. But we have goodwill. I have goodwill towards you. I want the best for you. And the best for you is found in this book. That's the best for you. You want to continue to nurse at the cosmos out there? Go ahead. What's it going to get you? And at the rapture, you're going to do an OMG. I should have done what I was in that church briefly. And I blew it all off. Don't do that. And quit being afraid of what the consequences are by getting with it. Well, so-and-so's not going to like me. Well, who cares? You're not here to please men. You're here to please God. If you please God, then I don't care what others think. Yeah, it hurts. They have friends. I have friends that have blown out of here. And I made a case for the subject. And I may have others blow out of here. I'm not trying to get you to blow out of here. You stay here and suffer then. Or you look at the subject and we're going to do it afresh. By the way, I have a verse for you. Just for your consideration. Of course, if you feel this out of fellowship, it didn't do you any good. It's in Jeremiah, by the way. It's chapter 31. This is just this is free of charge. This is for you to consider. Okay, that's 31, 37. Thus says Yahweh. Well, this comes from the mouth of God. Not that if the prophet said it would be any less than the mouth of God, but this is something he reports in this context. If the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel. Now, we know the Abrahamic covenant, he can't do that. All the offspring of Israel, he cannot cast off, believing and reject that whole covenant. For all they've done, declares the Lord, I'll uncork on them and I'll eliminate them. I'll make them extinct. Well, foundations of the earth, people. The earth apparently has foundations. And based on this, we can't figure out the size of this whole thing. Yet I went online and I figured out the size of the earth. The globe. It's 7,926 miles in diameter. Look it up yourself. Circumference is 24,859.82 miles. So we measured the earth. So Israel's toast. I'm just kidding. Don't get excited. Don't fall apart. I'm being sarcastic. Here's the thing. The earth has foundations. Oh, guess what? So does the New Jerusalem. 12 of them to be exact. And each of the foundations are named after one of the apostles. That's kind of a nice monument to have your name on. Sure beats, you know, some building downtown. And anyway, you don't talk about foundations on a globe, nor do you talk about pillars. You know, someone said to me, well, then what are the pillars standing on? That's the way they said. I said, nothing. What could they be standing on? Space is infinite. I don't care how big you made them. They could never reach some kind of ground down here. Because this is infinite space. Can you wrap your head around this? It goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. If you went 50 billion light years, you wouldn't even touch it. That's how far space is. And that's how big God is. His immensity. We think of everything in an enclosure. But space cannot be measured. It's forever. And in it, the Creator put the third heaven, the real estate, called the third heaven, and under it, the earth. Under a dome, non-rotating, not moving, circular, on a square platform with a series of foundations and pillars. If I took the Bible literally, that's the cosmology I'd come up with. And the earth is older than the sun. And the earth isn't 38 billion years old. Or whatever it's in the deal. How old is the earth? You're stupid. It's not that old. Well, I mean, if you think 4,000 years is old, well, or whatever, plus the time, BC, I mean. So, here's one for you. Those that were listening. The earth we're on got vegetation before it got the sun, moon, and stars. By 24 hours, roughly. I'm just reading Genesis 1. How wild is that? This is the same book that you put your faith in for salvation and everything that's worthwhile. And that's why this is all under attack. It is to make the Bible look stupid and science reign supreme. I've had people actually say science goes first with me. Okay, fine. That's your choice. It isn't mine. I believe the Bible's accurate in everything it says, whether we can figure it out or not. And so I have a Bible and I have to deal with it. Because I'm betting my crown that I'm right. Right as rain. And I'm not even afraid anymore. This is the way it is. If you don't like it, I still will pray for you. You can run around and continue to advocate that the earth is moving because science says it is, and the sun's stationary. And your Bible says the opposite. Go figure. Says the opposite more than once. You know what somebody said? Well, this limits God. Limits him. You think if you had millions of galaxies out there, millions of light years, that makes God bigger? Because everything's a speck if it's in the midst of an infinite space. But what I like, among other things, is my Savior and the throne, loved ones, royal family, Old Testament saints, they're not that far from me. They're not that far. When Gabriel was dispatched from the throne room to come down to talk to Daniel, and it was a trip. He wasn't there instantly. God didn't just go boom, but Gabriel was traveling. Then he ran into the prince of Persia, not a man, and he intercepted him. And Michael came along and took care of apparently a more powerful angel so Gabriel could go because he was delayed. So it's a trip. And it isn't light years. Angels are really fast. I accept that. Very fast. You'll be very fast one of these days. I can't imagine it. So that's what I'm up against, and I appreciate you who pray for me in this regard. All right, off track, but you can trust that I'm trying to make this clear. We'll get into more detail later on. I'm going to reiterate these points over and over again. The earth has pillars. The earth has foundations. The earth is circular and it's not rotating. It's not moving. You're not moving. You didn't move today. You didn't go tens of thousands of miles around the sun. You didn't move. You didn't move around and you'll be in the East Coast before you go to bed tonight. No. You're right where you're at. You're right here. When you're dealing with people that are antagonistic to this, just be kind. But be firm. That's what Jesus would do. He'd just throw a scripture on people. Now, they wouldn't get it. But it didn't matter. He'd say, on the contrary, the earth isn't moving. We take our stand on the Bible. God spoke right through Joshua. As if God himself was speaking. The Holy Spirit. Sun, stand still. And it stood still. And moon, stand still. Boom. So whatever the size of the moon, whatever the makeup of the stars, and all the rest of it, it's nothing like these people have been telling us. Nothing. Distance, size, makeup, and all the rest of it. So if you want to wear your stupid NASA t-shirt and your Star Wars one, it's a fantasy. It's make-believe stuff. It's a bad advertisement. It's like the woman that came in here one time, a girl or whatever, wearing a Marilyn Monroe t-shirt. Yuck! What's wrong with believers? I understand being deceived. But once the truth is in front of you, it's your job to stand in it. And if you lose friends and family, you know why some people won't? I don't want to go to a church and they'll ridicule me and blah, blah, blah. Let them ridicule. Let them run their mouths. It's like all those verses about fools say many words, but it doesn't add up to anything. The truth is what will set you free. The truth will make things clear. And it'll open other doors too. You say, well, so-and-so isn't. I don't care what so-and-so's doing. I could care less in one sense of what so-and-so thinks. I'm not here to please so-and-so. I'm here to teach this, among other things. And if it costs me, then I take up my cross each day and move right on down that road. It's a shocker. I know, it's a shocker. But ask yourself, what is your motivation? Pride? I don't know what everybody's motivation is. I really don't. Never expected it, but I did pray for it. Not that, but I prayed for wisdom, because I'm told to. I really do not want to get at the bema seat. Oh, missed that one. Sorry, gang. Now I'm going to miss something, I'm sure, but I don't want to miss that. Creation? Huh. And the new earth is flat. The new Jerusalem comes down and sits on it. It isn't a ball without the sun, moon, and stars spinning out around nowhere. How stupid. You couldn't live on a ball if you wanted to. Think about it. You couldn't handle the curvature. It just wouldn't work. They sold us this. It's called scientism. They sold us evolution. They sold us Big Bang. They sold us all this crap. And now they're pushing alien civilizations. And people are buying it right and left. Satan and the demons are going to have a field day with these people. They already are. There's God, there's angels, and there's humans and animals. There is no little gray men. If it's a little gray man and someone saw it, demons can show themselves in a number of ways. I don't even begin to understand the dynamics of angels fully. It's mind-boggling. So you don't have to worry about, oh, NASA, we sent a rocket to the sun. Really? What the hell for? You get so close, and based on the sun you're talking about, it'd melt the damn thing. And they found hairy spiders on Mars. Wasn't there some individual had a song about spiders on Mars? You can look it up for me. Yeah, it's about as real. Spiders on Mars. It's unbelievable. They put this stuff out daily. It's like the Vatican. Every high and lofty thought lifted up against the wisdom of God will be brought low and humiliated. Lies. You've got to have this kind of a universe that they're talking about to have evolution, to have all the rest of it. It's all a package deal. One thing came, next thing came, next thing. Because some people you can't fool with religion. You screwed up religion. They're not going to be religious. You got to screw them up with science. Knowledge, falsely so-called. Why wouldn't you promote that? If that's all you ever heard, you never had a debate, you never had a discussion, because you're not told to discuss, question, you're told to believe and move on. Because they're smarter than you are, you dummy. It's like, the emperor has no clothes. What? One person points something out. Does not make any sense. So whether we are awake or whether we are asleep, we're going to be taken. So that's grace for all believers. Whether we are awake or asleep, 1 Thessalonians 5:10, we're going to be caught up with the Lord. So all the dummy believers, they're going to be caught up. All the negative ones and the positive ones. Thank you, Father, for the time. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.